I'd like to turn to three very short passages of scripture. First one in Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, first book in the Bible, and verse 10. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 10. And he said, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood is crying to me from the ground." Coming back to Genesis in the next, after this one, but Matthew 22, Gospel of Matthew chapter 22, the end of verse 41. Matthew 22, the end of verse 41. Jesus demanded of them, saying, "What think ye concerning the Christ? Whose son is he?" Last of all, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 9. And Jehovah Elohim called to man and said, "Where art thou?" I expect it's apparent to most here that I read three questions in the Bible this evening. What hast thou done? God to Cain. And then in Matthew's Gospel, what think ye concerning the Christ? And then, where art thou? I was thinking about questions, and toddlers can't do much before they're toddlers in communicating, perhaps, but toddlers, they like to ask lots of questions because they do not know much. Probably know more than we think, actually, but they're learning. Likewise, I often think when I start a new job, it doesn't happen too often, hopefully, but when I do start a new job, I like asking lots of questions, finding out how things are done. And to and then I like to think that I acquire quite a bit of knowledge. I don't have to ask so many questions after a few weeks. But God, in God's word here, we have these three questions. And I think they can all be applied and asked in the gospel. First of all, in the fourth chapter of Genesis, we know, well, all here I expect know the story of Cain and Abel. And in one way, we're all either in the line of Abel or in the line of Cain. We've either come to know God or we're still yet to know God. And if we're yet to know God, how bad it would be if we never came to know God. Alas, that's what happened to Cain by all accounts. But here we have Cain and Abel. Cain, the older son of Adam and Eve, oldest son, and Abel, the next one. And interesting chapter we have here. They both brought offerings to God. They both tried to approach God. And Abel, perhaps I'll read it in order. Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering to Jehovah. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat. Interesting to think of these two brothers brought up in the same household, and no doubt their mother and father, Adam and Eve, had spoken to them about what had happened when sin first came in, and no doubt had told them what God was looking for, what was suitable for him. And alas, Cain brought what he thought was a suitable offering, and God said it was not a suitable offering. Cain did something that he had done. He was a farmer, for want of a current expression of a job. He tilled the ground and produced fruit from it. And no doubt he thought he had brought a suitable offering to God that he had helped produce. But Abel, he had come to know God, and he knew what was suitable. And it's very similar to the gospel message in the way that Abel would have killed an animal who was spotless, who was innocent, and brought it to God and offered it to God. And God looked upon his offering, and it says here, and Jehovah looked upon Abel and on his offering, and upon Cain and on his offering he did not look. And we know well the gospel message, we know well what happened in the gospels, and what happened about 2,000 years ago, in that the Lord Jesus, he came here as the spotless victim to die on the cross, to take your place. He died in his body on the tree, it says in Peter. He came here as a substitute, often referred to the end of 2 Corinthians 5. Him who knew not sin, he has made sin for us, that we might become God's righteousness in him. He was made sin. The very thing, think of when John 11 or 12, when Lazarus died, and when Jesus was troubled, seeing the effects of sin and death. The wages of sin is death. That's why we're all, if we're left here, we're all going to die, because of sin coming in. So this offering, Abel knew what God required, and Jesus went that way because he came to do his Father's will, and he came to die on the cross so that you might come into blessing, so that you might put your faith and trust in him and be saved, be converted. Philippian jailer, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus. So you can, if you're converted and saved, you're on the line of Abel. But alas, if you haven't put your faith and trust in Lord Jesus, you're following the line of Cain. And speaks about Cain and Abel a few times in the New Testament. Thinking, Abel comes into the faith chapter. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained testimony of being righteous, God bearing testimony to his gifts, and by it, having died, he yet speaks. Abel would speak in a gospel preaching like this, in that what he offered was acceptable to God. And it looked on in type to the Lord Jesus dying on the cross as being that perfect sacrifice to cover your sins. I next read in Matthew 22. What think ye concerning the Christ? Again, another pointed question. Who do you think the Lord Jesus Christ is? What is he to you? What has he done for you? Is he just a good man that lived 2,000 years ago? Or is he your own personal saviour? Have you had a transaction with him? Do you see him as God's only begotten Son? Do you see him as one of the persons of the Godhead? Hadn't really thought about it today, but in pondering the glad tidings tonight, I was reminded of the beginning of Hebrews. God, having spoken in many parts and in many ways, formerly to the fathers and the prophets, at the end of these days has spoken to us in the person of the Son, whom he has established heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the effulgence of his glory and the expression of his substance, and upholding all things by the word of his power, having made by himself the purification of sins, set himself down on the right hand of the greatness on high, taking a place so much better than the angels, as he inherits a name more excellent than they. For to which of the angels said he ever, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Lord Jesus, God manifest in flesh, it speaks of in Timothy. It speaks of the lowly pathway in Philippians 2. What think ye concerning the Christ? Do you know him as your Saviour? The one who went that way of the cross 2,000 years ago to die in your stead, to bear the punishment that was due to you? Or do you just see him as a good man? He is that, he was that, he is that, but he came here to deal with your sins. He went the way of the cross, the 3 hours of darkness, bore those sins. Think what a scene it would be if you do not accept Lord Jesus, your Saviour. We had an interesting reading on Wednesday when some of these matters were brought up about hell and what it would be like. I think heaven and hell, they're not spoken of too much in the Bible, but I think what's spoken of is enough to show what they each be like. And sorry for repeating myself, because I often speak about Luke 16, but the rich man, he was in torments. I think he speaks of four times he was in torments. And in Revelation, speaks of similar things. It's very solemn to think of hell, but the gospel goes out that you don't need to go there. The sacrifice has been made. The way of approach to God has been accomplished if you rightly accept, if you accept the offering in the glad tidings. I trust you know the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, that you know him as God's only begotten Son, and that you have a personal link with him, and that one day your portion will be being with him and seeing him face to face. It's an amazing thing to be like him, but you can be clothed in his righteousness now, in his precious worth. Think of the prodigal son of Luke 15. He wanted to be made like a servant, but he came into sonship. Lastly, I read in Genesis 3. We know well the story of the serpent deceiving Eve and Adam being disobedient and sin coming in. And what did they do? Adam and Eve, the eyes of them both being opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of Jehovah Elohim walking in the garden in the cool of the day. A man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Jehovah Elohim in the midst of the trees of the garden. And Jehovah Elohim called to man and said to him, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I feared, because I am naked and I hid myself." My thought in reading this verse, "Where art thou?" And again, another pointed question, where are you in relation to God, your maker, the one you'll have to do with in the day to come? Think how, again, that end of that passage in Philippians 2, we're all to bow the knee. Have you bowed the knee to Jesus now, or will you have to do it in a day to come as a judge? Speaks a couple of times in the New Testament about the Lord Jesus judging. But if you know him as your Lord and Saviour, you'll not be judged for your sins, because they've already been dealt with. They've been covered. And the wonderful thing here about Adam and Eve is God was not taken unaware. God knew all this was going to happen. And he had an answer to it, as we've said, in the Lord Jesus, so that we might come to know his heart of love, so as to trust you might come to know it for yourself. And here, it's a wonderful verse, I think, in verse 21, Jehovah Elohim made Adam and his wife coats of skin and clothed them. Animal skin, an animal had to be slain, blood shed. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And as I started at the beginning, I think Adam and Eve would have come to themselves and realised what they've done was wrong, and that they've been either been deceived and Adam disobedient, and they realised they had to repent of their sin, so to speak. And they put their faith and trust in God. They knew God in a more fuller way than before this happened. And they would have told their children after. And Abel came into this blessing. I trust you realise what hast thou done. I trust that you realise you've sinned. We've all sinned and come short of the knowledge of God. It's no difference. Everyone, only man that didn't sin was the Lord Jesus, but everyone else has fallen. Psalm 51 or so. Behold, iniquity was I brought forth, and in sin did my mother conceive me. In that way you cannot help your condition, but you're still responsible for it, and you need to answer to the call in the gospel. And then I read in Matthew, what think ye concerning the Christ? Have you got a right estimation of what the Lord Jesus has done for you? Do you know him personally? Did he take your place on the cross? Did he shed his blood so that your sins might be covered? And where are you in relation to all this? Are you now converted? Are you saved? Or are you putting it off or thinking you don't need to come this way to know God? That your good works outdo your bad ones. But this is the line of Cain. He thought what he brought was suitable, but alas, it wasn't. Three times before the Lord died, there was a right estimation of who the Lord Jesus was. Pilate says, I find no fault in him. The thief says, this man has done nothing amiss. The centurion says, certainly, this was a righteous man. Centurion, I think that's just after he had died. But he was crucified. That's what the world's estimation of the Lord Jesus is. I trust your estimation of him is that he's God's only begotten Son, that he's the perfect one, and that he died on the cross to take away your sins. May it be so, for his name's sake.